This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. My name is Scott Watley. We are glad you are with us. Hope everyone is looking forward to a great weekend, beautiful day here in the Mile High City. And we're going to kick off today's show with our good friend Scott Hinkey from On-Site Consulting. His business is located at 6446 East Hamden Avenue here in Denver. Their number is 720-482-8383. Scott, good to see you again. It's been a few weeks.
It is. Good, glad to see you too.
All right. So before we get into some things about your business a little bit, let's kind of talk about some things that you're currently seeing. Before we came on air here, you were talking about scams are as prevalent as ever.
Well, I would say three times more than they were before COVID. I think we're all exhausted. We're going to believe whatever anybody puts in front of us, like not just in the media, but I mean like, hey, there's a pop-up on my computer that says I need to do something, like renew my antivirus program. People do this all the time. And the pop-up says to renew it, but I don't have this. So how can I renew it? I says, well, that's because the first thing was a scam. You know, so you'll see that a lot. It's McAfee and Norton. For some reason, those are popping up a lot on people's screens when they get spyware saying you need to renew your Norton for, and it's some astronomical amount, like $300 a year. And Norton's only about $75 a year at the most.
Okay,
so you get something really big like $300, that doesn't make any sense. But people click on it and then they go ahead and pay it. They don't even have Norton, but they've given a stranger their credit card number. And then people come say, and they'll say, well, you don't really think I have to worry about it, do you? I said, yes, you just gave somebody your credit card number.
Right.
They could take all of your money, every dime out of your credit card. And you're going to be dealing with that, you know, repercussions of identity theft for months to come. So got to cancel your credit card, change your password for your bank, things like that. People come in once a day to our shop. Now, we help like 12,000 homes and businesses in Colorado, in an enormous amount. So of that number, about one person per day comes in with an infected computer because they let somebody remote in there. I'll just tell you this. Don't ever trust anybody unless you know them. You could trust your grandson, your neighbor down the street, and our company and something like that. But don't trust if somebody says they're from Amazon, says they're from Apple. Why is Apple remoting into your PC for free, okay, to fix it? That doesn't even make any sense. You just got to take it easy when somebody volunteers to remote into your computer for free.
Now, you mentioned credit card. Let me talk about, should we most of the time use an actual credit card instead of a debit card when we do things because of what you said? Because, hey, a credit card, yeah, they can run up, but you can dispute that, whatever, and it may cause you some hassle. But a debit card, son, they can drain it.
Right, because a debit card, you know, by definition, it just takes it straight out of your account. And I think it's instantaneous. Like, the second you push the button, it's out of your checking account, so it's almost impossible to get back. Credit card, you know, you've got a little bit of disputes you could do through your Visa company and things like that. I had a purchase I did from some complete stranger I was really suspicious about. And I was so concerned. I don't even want to give him my credit card because it just looked a little fishy. But this company actually took PayPal. And PayPal is yet another kind of a protection. They have this buyer's protection program. So I went through PayPal, which used my credit card to make the transaction. So it was like two different remedies I had in case it wasn't a real person.
Okay, great. Once again, it's On-Site Consulting. Their number is 720-482-8383. And Scott Hinkey, the owner, is with us. All right, now, computers. A lot of people wanting to buy some and all, and they may go to some of the stores and all that, and you actually work with some local stores, I know. But you have a great selection of some used PCs for folks, and we've been talking about seniors that you can help out and all that, but you sell some used ones that are all ready to go.
Right. I mean, you can't go wrong with a new computer if you want to spend a lot of money and have the smell of the new computer, just like a new car smell, you know. Personally, I have never bought a new car because it costs a lot of money, and I'd rather go for a one-year-old used car, right? Same thing with computers. You could buy a three-year-old computer at half the price of a brand-new computer. And at our place, we'll replace the hard drive. That's primarily the problem that goes wrong with every computer is the hard drive. That's the moving part in the computer that spins around, holds all your data. And when you hear of a computer crash, that's what you lose, is all the data, all the programs and resume and photos and stuff like that off of your hard drive. So we replaced that with a brand new drive, with a high-speed drive. So, you know, it's almost like getting a brand new computer for half the price. Sometimes it's a third of the price of being in a store. We just got a couple shipment in of computers for $175, and these computers are like 4 years old.
Wow. Okay. Now, you guys help, too, with all the transfer, and you're one of the best at this, I think, of helping people transfer over from an old computer.
Right. That's the thing that nobody likes is change, right? What is it, the saying, the only thing that likes change is a baby? Everybody else hates being changed. And you go from any computer to any other computer, all the stuff's in a different place. Oh, my gosh, they're moving my shortcuts, and now my toolbar, I customized, so I wanted it just the way I have it, and now it's not there anymore. And, like, all your passwords, you know, you have to re-enter every password. We actually have two different ways to move everything from one computer to the other computer to where it's virtually imperceptible that you bought a new computer. All the icons are in the same place. The favorites are in the same place. Your passwords are still there. Like, you don't have to re-register your programs. Let's say you registered, I don't know, Adobe or something like that 5 years ago. We could move it and the registration so it still works on the new computer. So when you get it, everything's in the same place as before. One thing I don't like, just to go on this tangent, Windows 11 is said they're coming out. And the weird thing that they're doing that I highly don't agree with is they're moving the toolbar that used to be on the bottom left. You know, you click the button and you go to shut down and all that stuff. They're moving it to the middle of the screen. Wow. Microsoft just does things. I don't have a clue of why it would now be in the middle, because now I have to tell people, go to the middle of the screen and click the button on the left to shut down your computer. You know, they just like to move things around. So we try to keep everything exactly the way it was. So when you get your transfer back, your computer's going to go, you know, 10, 20 times faster than it was before, and all your stuff's where the stuff was before.
Wow, crazy. Passwords. Let's hit that real quick. Okay. Is that one of the biggest problems, people forgetting passwords?
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest problem is people who swear they don't have a password. People tell us all the time, well, I just click on the AOL, and it goes right in. I said, I know, but you have a password. You have to tell us what it is. I don't have a password. Well, yes, you do. Otherwise, everybody on the planet would be checking your mail for you. Nope, don't have a password. And we have people, there's a saying from Stephen Hawking that says, it's not that the scariest thing isn't somebody who doesn't know what's going on, it's people who think they know what's going on, right? And I've had people who swear wireless mice don't have batteries in it. Okay, so how does a little red light come out of your mouse? So it's really people just forget what their passwords are, and they say, well, can you just reset it? And I says, well, not unless you have your password. Well, that was 20 years ago. I know. I still don't know what your password is. And they give me the history of not typing in a password. I said, you need to call your nephew from 20 years ago and ask him, where did he write down your password? So please write it down somewhere. And especially in our times, you know, we're never sure how long God's going to have us on this earth. And write your passwords down and let a loved one know where they are. I have a password keeper. It's a thing called LastPass, and it keeps track of all your passwords. And I have one master password that gets you into there. It's like 20 digits long. And I have that in my safe at home. So if something happens, my wife and my business and stuff like that can still continue because they will have my 250 passwords saved in that program. So, and unfortunately, we've had to help people whose relatives have passed away, and we've got to break into their computer and try to use some secret ways to get their password just to send an obituary out for that person, right? So please write it down somewhere. Don't write it down underneath your mouse pad because that's where everybody puts it. But put it in a safe or something like that for your loved ones.
Right. And what are the most common passwords that people just think of automatically? Their birthdays or their address, things like that?
It's usually Broncos. In Colorado, it's Broncos. I could name some clients right now whose password is Broncos. I hate passwords is a password that people use a lot. I hate Microsoft is another password. But, yeah, you got to make it something that's not in the dictionary. Okay, so stick some numbers in there. So even if you put I hate Microsoft, make the O a zero, you know, and the A could be at sign. Make it something that isn't in the dictionary, and you have a lot less chance of getting broken into.
All right, cool. Well, you guys just received a great award. Tell us about that.
We did. I couldn't even believe it. I mean, they approached us. They said, hey, you've been nominated for the Colorado Best of Colorado Awards. They have these every year in Colorado, and it's in the magazines and stuff like that. It was Colorado Biz Magazine. And they came to us and said, hey, you've been nominated. I said, oh, okay. And then 6 months later, they did surveys around the city, and people would fill in, you know, their top computer company. And we were one of the top three in Colorado, which is a pretty big honor. 20 years ago, I was in my basement. right? People were coming to my basement to get stuff fixed, and now we've got a, you know, 4,500 square foot storefront and 13 employees and doing our best. But making that jump to being one of the top three in Colorado was a great honor.
Man, no doubt. So 39 years you've been doing this.
Yes. So that means 19 years in my basement, 20 years in a storefront. But yeah, I started this long time ago. I was just thinking back that when I first started, we had to dial up the internet physically with a finger in a rotary phone. Mm-hmm. Remember, most of the people listening may not even know what a rotary phone is. You put your finger in it and you got to twist it to dial a phone number. And that's how we had to dial into this real estate computer and download data and stuff like that. But we've seen just about everything. I have an awesome, phenomenally awesome staff that knows way more than they should about everything, everything. So we love to help people. That's the thing about it. Most everybody in our company are non-geeky guys. We try to keep that motto, non-geeky guys who know how to communicate with people. That's what we try to work for.
Once again, the number is 720-482-8383, and it's on-site consulting. So are you getting more into people's homes, or what is it? You can remote in, and we talked. We'll get into that here a little bit. And we discourage letting anyone, as you clarified, you don't know, but it is something then for the ease of the customer that you guys can remote in. But you see, are more people wanting you to come to their home now, or is it still people love the remote in access?
Most people love it because people don't like to carry in computers. We help a lot of seniors. Not that they can't carry a computer, but they say, I don't want to carry in my 30-pound computer and unplug all these wires and plug them all back in. So we could do a lot of stuff remotely. In fact, we've got three technicians working remotely all through COVID. They've been at their house. We have such a reputation with all of our business clients that they know, yeah, just remote in. And we know we can fix things remotely. You know, printers are a little bit hard because the printer is basically a computer and we have to hook it to the internet. So sometimes we have to go to people's houses for printer issues. But basically for 100% of other things, 99% of other things, we could just remote in there. But again, don't let anybody remote in your computer. I don't care if they say they're Bill Gates or the mayor of Denver. Think about it. Why would Bill Gates call you? Right? You just got to think these things through. And why is Bill Gates charging me $300?
Right.
Why would he do that?
Sure. You mentioned seniors. Let's talk about that a minute. You know, there's a lot of people that maybe want to help get their senior parents or grandparents maybe on an iPad or a computer during this COVID time. What are kind of the basics that you say, hey, you can come get a computer from us for a few hundred dollars or whatever, and we can set you up with just a few of the basics. So what would you consider some of the basics that could help someone maybe communicate with their family better?
Yeah, I teach a lot of classes. I used to teach more in person for seniors through the place called Academy of Lifelong Learning, which is in Denver. But nationally, even for your listeners, I know you're all over the country, there's a place called Senior Planet. So I encourage your people to go to seniorplanet.com or .org, can't remember, but it's free classes for seniors, so they get a lot of the taste of it. But seniors don't need the same things that we need. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to say that a lot of times younger people push the thing that the senior needs onto the seniors. Right. Seniors do not need Quicken. If they're using their checkbook that they've had for years on paper and done it that way, then let them do that. Yeah. Don't push them into using Quicken or QuickBooks or let's set up a spreadsheet so you can keep track of all your budget. Mom doesn't want to do that.
Right.
She's got a little scrap of paper she keeps her budget on. Right. So don't push them into something they don't want. But man, I would get them on the internet, of course, for email. Okay. Right. That's kind of a common thing is getting email. And their bank. So you want to teach them a little bit about that because you have to be careful. That's opening up a Pandora's box. If she has a Chase account and somebody calls and says they're from Chase, she might think, this is really them. They should remote into my computer. But I tell them to get their bank or on their smartphone so they could just see what their balance is to make sure they're not being overcharged for things and things like that. And I would really recommend Facebook. Now, I don't really care about Facebook, yet I'm on it all the time now because I don't care what you ate for breakfast. I don't care that you made a shelf. I don't care that you swept your backyard. It's just kind of silly what some people post on Facebook. But for seniors, you get exposure to your kids and your grandkids all over the country on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Look, Mary made breakfast. She's interested that her grandkid makes breakfast.
Sure.
You know, so Facebook's an important thing for seniors, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about, you know, we'll take our home computers right now since a lot of people are home. First of all, are most people using laptops from home or are most people using kind of the bigger ones that we used to all have?
It's completely up to the person. You know, I tried to run my business off a laptop one time, and then I got tired. It's like, oh my gosh, my neck hurts and my hands are kind of cramped up and stuff like that. So I use a desktop everywhere. Okay, I don't use a laptop. But I really think that it's up to the person. If you want to use a laptop to move around the house, I would get both. You know,
okay.
With our refurbished computers, you could afford to have two computers around the house.
Sure, no doubt.
So I actually, in the middle of COVID, all my trips were canceled. So I bought a hot tub and I work in the hot tub. Okay. I drag my laptop out to the hot tub and I'm working at night in a hot tub with my laptop, which is paradise for me.
Cool.
And so I like doing that. But yep. In the house, you know, I want to sit in front of a computer. I've got three screens so it doesn't hurt my neck and I'm more relaxed sitting in there. But I have the versatility of using both of them. And nowadays, you know, you can get a computer for $200 at our place, a refurbished one with a warranty, and you get a laptop for $150 to $200.
Jeez.
Then you could have two, travel around. So either one, it's up to the person.
Okay, cool. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk about maybe when you should replace your home computer. Scott Hinkey is our guest. On-site consulting is the company. 6446 East Hamden, 720-482-8383.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
When it comes to customer service, D&D Tire takes it to the next level. Yes, you will receive great customer service from this family-owned company, but there is a difference when you add customer care. You see, at D&D Tire, they care about your safety and your car, and they understand mechanical problems, tire replacement, or flat tires never come at a convenient time. But at each of the D&D Tire locations, two in Aurora and one in Parker, you will find a courteous staff and technicians that have the knowledge and experience to take care of all of your automotive needs. Right now, buy four qualifying tires and rebates are up to $150 when using your Goodyear credit card, subject to credit approval. And terms and conditions apply. D&D Tire Service, your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. Check them out at dndtireservice.com.
This is Chris Kane with 303 Roofer. If you have an insurance claim on your roof and want to keep some of that money in your pocket, give us a call and we'll give you a cash bid to replace your roof. You pay insurance every month and now insurance has paid you. It's your money and we understand that. So give us a call at 303-390-1382 or visit our website, 303roofer.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, Scott Hinkey is our guest. On-site consulting, they are the folks we use for all of our computer needs. 6446 East Hamden, they've got a storefront right there at Hamden and I-25. OnsiteDenver.com. That's O-N-S-I-T-E Denver.com. All right, Scott, we were talking about home computers and all. So as far as people say, hey, when should I replace mine? I mean, I guess get you guys to check it out to make sure it needs replacing first, right?
Yeah, we don't really know. Some people replace their computers every 3 years. Like some people get a car every 3 years, which I can't understand. But yeah, if you want to buy a brand new computer and spend $1,500 every 3 years, you're welcome to it. But I would suggest every about 5 years to do a big upgrade, like the hard drive and the memory and stuff like that. And then maybe after 8 years, replace the computer. So something like that. But, repairing a computer or upgrading it is so much cheaper, like 1/6 the price of replacing it. Plus, it's all in the same place. You know how people are used to not liking change. So they're on buttons in the same place and they're, you know, things like that. They just like the computer that fits in their cabinet in the right place. So I would say every maybe 4 to 5 years, get a good upgrade, and then 8 to 9 years, do a whole replacement. But if you haven't had a computer more than 3 years, you should definitely get these new solid state drives, even if it's 3 years old. Like, we bought a new computer. We built a new computer for one of our clients, and we put in a solid state drive right away. Spinning drives are super slow. People don't realize how slow drives are until you've seen what a high speed drive does. There's no moving parts. It's virtually instantaneous. But only about 40% of the computers in a store come with them right now because they're a little more expensive. But a little more is like $50. So we could replace your drive for like $80, but then we got to move everything over. But it's just like buying a new computer. It'd be 6 to 8 times faster just with this one $200 upgrade.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And people absolutely love it when they get it.
Okay. Now imagine when maybe you've flipped some stuff over, get them a new computer. People get frustrated pretty easy. Just like, oh my gosh, where's this? And you probably get a few calls early on, right?
Yeah, well, not when we do our perfect transfer process, you know, that where everything's exactly in the same place.
Gotcha.
But we have some people who came in. We had one lady with Vista this week. So Vista is 20 years old. Okay. And we moved her over to a Windows 10 computer. We've had people with XP. And when you go from XP, that's it. The further you go back, the harder the transition is. And last year, we had somebody with Windows 98. That's crazy. Okay, 25-year-old computer going to a Windows 10 computer. So anyway, it depends on how big that transition is there.
Mm-hmm. Now, we were talking about before we came on air a little bit, you know, PC and Mac. And boy, there's definitely two divisions. People either love their Macs or their PCs. But if maybe someone's thinking about, hey, I'm going to be changing now, working from home, whatever, and they're thinking about getting something new, I mean, what are the ups and downs of either one of those?
Well, if you're working from home, you might need to stick exactly what you have right now, because the office may have the certain program or the certain thing, and they connect better with PCs than with Macs. But if you're retired or you just want something to relax with around the house, Macs are the way to go. A lot less problems. The hardware, you know, is all designed by Mac. So it's not like outsourced to 10 different companies like a PC is. You know, PC has one person make the motherboard, the memory, the ports, the screen, the hard drive, everybody. Sure. 10 different people to make this computer. Mac makes the entire computer, so it's usually everything works, okay? So like at my house, I've got a big Mac that's, I think, 10 or 11 years old that I use every single day. And it's 11 years old. Hmm. And I don't care about the speed, but it's a Mac and it's beautiful. And I have it in my kitchen, on the kitchen counter, because Macs are beautiful. They're silver and there's not a lot of cords and stuff. So I have it right in the kitchen. Everybody sees it, but it's more like part of the house and it looks cool. You wouldn't put a PC in your kitchen. Okay. Yeah. Too many wires and it's going to look really weird. So, and Macs tend to have less software problems too. They have a really good screening process. Everything's kind of tight and there's not as many glitches with a Mac, plus not as many viruses with a Mac. Mm-hmm.
All the gaming stuff that's out now, Lord, I mean, we grew up with Pong and Pac-Man.
Pong.
And
Pong was my first game.
Different
I loved
thing.
It.
Now there's all kinds of games. I mean, are those...
Those are more PCs then.
Yeah.
So if you... And we do custom-built PCs all the time. So if you come in with a budget, we'll make you a computer to whatever your budget is, like $1,000. And that sounds like a lot, but for a gaming PC, that's bottom of the line. We had a senior citizen buy a $7,000 gaming computer at the beginning of COVID. He says, you know what? I'm going to be locked in my house for a year. I'm going to have fun. We built him a $7,000 computer with three curved screens, and he's probably sitting in front of it right now enjoying life.
Jeez.
With like 32 gigs of memory, which I don't even know what he would do, but he enjoys the computer and wants that high-speed, instantaneous access with it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. I know you prepared a few specials for our listeners. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, I know you got listeners all over the United States, but we could still help people with stuff. You know, we're trying to just help people, no matter where you are in life or in the United States. So we try not to do the on-sites as much because of COVID and there's drive time.
Sure.
That's why we have to charge a trip charge. I mean, there's a lot of places in town. Their normal price for an on-site visit is $175 an hour. So we can't give away that for free. But there's a couple things we could do if you bring in your computer. I know you got people all over the country. Maybe they can send in their computer. We'll do it for free. But, you know, we'll do a free diagnostic on your computer. That's usually only $40 if you bring it in. We'll just do that for free. You know, is my computer worth upgrading? Is it worth doing should I even have this computer anymore? It's 8 years old, but I've never used it. You know, we'll just kind of tell you that and do it all for free. It takes about 24 hours. We'll check your backup, your updates, and make sure you got an antivirus program, things like that. Or we'll give you $50 off a computer if you want to do that. You come in, we got a showroom of about 20 computers, some all-in-ones. You know, they're the ones that have the computer and the screen built into the same thing. We've got a whole bunch of desktops everywhere from $100 to $700. I'm not kidding. You could walk in and get a $100 desktop computer with a brand new $80 drive in there. Okay. Or we'll take $100 off our transfer. So if you get, if you already got a new computer, you feel more comfortable with that, bring it in. We'll move everything over. It'll be so awesome. And we'll take $100 off that.
Wow.
Just mention Haystack when you come in.
All right. We appreciate that. Once again, folks, this has just, their company has just been elected as one of the top three IT in the state. All right. Colorado Biz, best of Colorado. So you are dealing with a great company, and we've known Scott for years. He's worked with us, my wife and I, and forever and ever here on all of our computer needs. And I'm telling you, they are great, great people and easy to work with. Their number is 720-482-8383. And their store is located at 6446 East Hamden Avenue in Denver. That's a King Supers there, right?
Yeah, King Supers.
King Supers, right in that parking lot as well. So real quick, you talked about the scams early on and all the virus protection. I mean, what's the best virus protection out right now?
The best ones are not the American ones. Okay, I know that's a weird thing to say, but the ones that everybody hears about, McAfee and Norton, we don't think are the best. They're really bloated. That means they're going to slow down your computer quite a bit when you use them. They have more things you need, like parental controls, keep track of your credit card, an additional firewall, a lot of stuff. So the ones that you hear that are outside of the country, we really recommend one called ESET, E-S-E-T. There's one called Kaspersky, which is a Russian thing that they think they're hackers and they're trying to get the United States secrets. So that's a conspiracy theory about that. But usually the ones that are built in Europe are the better ones, not the American ones.
Okay.
We like ESET, though, E-S-E-T.
All right. Give Scott a call. He will get you fixed up. And Scott, as always, we appreciate your knowledge and all you do for us, sir.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You as well. Scott Hinkey, On-Site Consulting, 720-482-8383. For years now, you've heard me talk about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and yes, for almost 20 years, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has been taking care of our pets. From medical, grooming, boarding, and even training, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is your one stop for all of your pet's needs. Not only is their facility state-of-the-art, but now you can download the free Lone Tree Vet app and visit their online store for your pet products and pharmacy needs. You can also have your very own pet portal. Plus, don't forget to read their blogs at LoneTreeVet.com. Do you take your dog on hikes? Check out Hiking the Trail Safely with Your Dog. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. Call today, 303-708-8050, or check them out, LoneTreeVet.com.
At Flesh and Beck Law, your attorney sets you at ease from the first meeting so you have the space to think clearly. After an injury, you immediately start worrying about how you will afford the healing process. You start thinking about insurance deductibles, physical therapy appointments, vehicle repairs, and how to pay for rent in the meantime. Listening to one calm, qualified voice throughout the process will help you think rationally instead of making decisions based on anxiety. Call Flesh and Beck Law for a free, no-obligation consultation, and you will talk to a lawyer right away, not some legal assistant who just wants to find out how much money your case might be worth. Then, once you and your attorney both decide to move forward with your case, you will continue working with that attorney the whole time. The same person who meets you for a consultation will also sit beside you in court. Eliminate the fear of the unknown. Call Flesh and Beck Law at 303-806-8886.
Have you been thinking about a new pair of glasses? Maybe some prescription sunglasses? Well, look no further than Stack Optical. Since 1968, yes, you heard me right. Since 1968, Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality ocular care for their patients. This family-owned business is proud to be one of the few optical offices that has their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Stack Optical, located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway, features the most extensive lines of eyeglass frames, sunglasses, and contact lenses to ensure that you love your appearance and experience superior comfort. Our comprehensive eye exams proactively diagnose eye conditions and diseases while providing the most accurate vision care. We welcome you to experience a lifetime of superior ocular care from doctors that are devoted to your eye health. Call now for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. We're going to be playing for you here these next few weeks some segments from a show that I have the privilege of doing in Dallas with a doctor, Dr. Lewis Coates. And he has a family medical practice there in the Dallas area. And he just brings some great information, and I wanted to share it with our Haystack audience here as well. So again, he is not a local doctor. He's out of the Garland, Texas area, but just great health information. So we're going to join that conversation now with Dr. Lewis Coates. Dr. Coates, thanks for joining us again. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, I tell you, I keep hoping you can catch your breath probably through all this, but it seems like the spike up is continuing with cases, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We're still continuing to rise, and slowly but surely, you know, unfortunately, like we've talked about before, how deaths tend to follow. And now here in Texas, we've gone from an average of around 40 deaths per day to getting close to 120, 130, I think, somewhere around there.
Okay.
And hospitalizations are almost at the highest number we've had. We currently have about 14,000 people hospitalized. And somewhere around January, we peaked at close to 15,000, if I remember, in the hospital. So, you know, we're quickly approaching those numbers of the peak back in January. So,
wow.
You know, definitely cases are rising. And, you know, I'm getting calls every day with people with coronavirus. So, you know, it's very unfortunate trend that we continue to see.
Right. Ages ranging from low to high.
Yeah, I mean, the cases that we hear about, in the, at least in the clinic, are pretty much all ages. I would say there's more younger population than we used to see, because I think a lot of the older population did, you know, hopefully got vaccinated, and we don't see as many people over 65 as we did the previous two times around. You know, this time it seems like it's more 50-year-olds, 40-year-olds, and those 40 to 60 range, I seem to see a lot of people in that category, and a lot of the 20s and young kids. Now that school started back up, we're starting to see more younger children with that COVID. But luckily, most of them are doing pretty well.
Sure. What are most of the symptoms the same with everybody, or what are the different types of symptoms that people are telling you they're feeling?
No, the symptoms of COVID are vastly, vastly different. And, you know, people can come in presenting, a lot of people, particularly the people who've been vaccinated, come in thinking they have allergies, okay? They'll say, I got a runny nose, I got this, you know, itchy throat, and I think my allergies are flaring up, which is hard to differentiate that in Texas. You know, we're in
sure.
The ragweed season where, you know, we have a lot of ragweed in this area, and, you know, a lot of people do have those kind of symptoms. And, most of those people, it feels like a mild cold or allergies. We don't see a whole lot of the fever, chills, body aches. Sometimes they lose their taste and smell, and that clues us off as physicians. We've been asking that a lot. Can you still taste and smell? And, oh, you know, now that you mentioned it, food did taste funny earlier today. And, you know, if we get them tested, a lot of them turn out to be positive. In the unvaccinated population, the symptoms seem to be a little bit different, and we seem to see more fever, chills, body aches. Then it starts. A lot of times, the respiratory symptoms don't start out right away. They just get the fever, chills, and body aches, and then a few days later, they start coughing, and they have the runny nose too. A lot of times, sore throat tends to be a common symptom. So you can see that they present very, very different. And people who've had COVID tend to be in the same group like the vaccinated people. If they're positive again, usually their symptoms are much, much milder the second time around.
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen a handful of people that have had COVID or have been fully vaccinated. When we say fully vaccinated, that means you've had both shots, and it's 2 weeks after the second shot. So, you know, if somebody catches COVID prior to that, they're not really fully vaccinated.
Gotcha.
Because their immune system's not built up enough to really defend itself at that point. Mm-hmm. But for the fully vaccinated people, we rarely see them getting really, really, really sick. You know, a few get a cough, like I said, runny nose, sore throat, you know, itchy, you know, throat. You know, those are the symptoms we're typically seeing, and then change in taste and smell. With the unvaccinated or people who haven't had COVID, which is when we're seeing, you know, and it seems to progress a little faster this time around than the first time, because we do know that the Delta variant replicates so much faster than the original coronavirus.
Right.
That these people are tending to get sicker at a faster pace. So typically, you know, about a year ago, most people crashed on day 7 to 10. And I'm seeing some as early as, you know, 5 and 6 days that are really, you know, getting close to getting in the hospital. So, you know, I think at this point, everybody out there should start taking those supplements, you know, particularly mm-hmm. if you're in a high-risk environment. And if you haven't been vaccinated, or you're not fully vaccinated at this point, of course, the ones that haven't been vaccinated, I recommend to get the vaccine. You know, if you're over 25, or for sure 30, that's where the data cuts off at 29. So let's say if you're over 30, you need to for sure get vaccinated, because that's the best prevention. But those that aren't, you know, at this point, you know, quercetin and zinc, there's some data out there showing that it can decrease your chances of catching COVID. There's data on high dose vitamin D. People who have a vitamin D level, you know, get that level checked next time you're in the doctor's office and look and see what it is. People who are over 55 in some studies showed that it helped prevent catching COVID. People who are overweight, start working on losing weight. If you're diabetic, get those sugars down. If you're hypertensive, get the sugars or the blood pressure controlled. These are things you can do on your own now to protect your health.
Right.
As we've said before many times, it still seems to prey on people with risk factors. And, you know, a lot of people look out there and they say, oh, I don't have any risk factors. Well, if you have a BMI over 30, there's one right there. You're technically, medically speaking, obese. And most people don't really, you know, we get in this discussion all the time at the clinic. When you call somebody obese, they get furious. I'm not obese. And I'm like, yeah, I'm looking at your height and weight, and you measure out at obese. Okay, well, I maybe need to lose a few pounds. I'm definitely not obese, you know. And so the public doesn't understand where those terms are. And I usually tell patients, well, you know what, depending on what day of the week you weigh me or what time of the year you weigh me, I might be obese, okay? I mean, right. You know, in the summer now, I'm probably not obese because I'm out on the boat and I'm more active outside, so I lose usually 10 pounds over the summer.
Right.
But I put it on. If you measure me back at Christmas when I caught COVID, I'm pretty sure that I would have had a BMI of 30.0 or somewhere right at that number, mm-hmm. and that would put me obese. Now, luckily, my BMI is probably like 28.7 now, or, you know, 29, somewhere in the upper 28. I'm still overweight, okay? And you know, the patients will look at you and go, you don't look obese to me. And I'm like, well, that's what I'm trying to, my point to get across.
Yeah, that's your point, yeah.
Is, if you can't look at somebody and really tell very well if they're just a little overweight or they're obese, you know, it's not what people think of. When people think of the word obese, they think of what doctors define as morbidly obese. Mm-hmm. Morbidly obese is a body mass index of 40 or more or 35 or more if you have risk factors such as diabetes, cholesterol, blood pressure. We take it down to 35. And, you know, those are people that look more what the public image is of obese. So people have risk factors. A lot of them are sitting out there thinking they have no risk factors, and they do. Okay, you know, they get in the hospital, and, you know, if they end up hospitalized, and the doctor comes out, well, he's got some risk factors, and the wife's like, he didn't have any risk factors. Well, he's obese, and he has his blood pressure elevated, so we got two there. You know, I mean, so a lot of people haven't had the blood pressure check. You can do that. Those are things that are helpful. At night when we go to bed, we know melatonin, it strengthens your immune system. Take melatonin to help you sleep. Now, some people get tremendous nightmares with melatonin, and they don't want to take it, and I understand that. I take melatonin every night, and I like it. I mean, it's like going to the movies for me. That's what I tell patients, you know what? It's kind of exciting to go to bed. It's a different theme every night. You know?
Exactly.
You never know what you're going to see. As long as it's not a horror movie, I'm usually pretty good.
Right.
So anyway, it does cause vivid dreams. I mean, they're pretty realistic, and you know, so some people don't like that, but you can always try to lower the dose, take a very minimal amount, but it does strengthen your immune system. So it's a good thing to have. Melatonin is naturally produced in our bodies. The other things on there that we've talked about, CoQ10 and NAC, people always get confused with NAC. And it's just like the letter stand, NAC, and CoQ10 is just like you think, COQ, and the letter number 10. Okay. CoQ10, you take either anywhere around 200 to 300 milligrams. Both of those are antioxidants. And what they do is they go in and clean up some of the oxidative stress that's in your blood vessels. And that's one of the places we've talked about at least a dozen times on this show, that COVID is an endothelial disease. It's going to attack those blood lines and try to cause clot formation. And those clots make it very difficult for your body to heal itself. So what we need to do is do what we can to remove that oxidative stress. And those are things like we just talked about, losing weight, getting your blood pressure down, getting your blood sugars down, and taking supplements like NAC or CoQ10. Both of them seem to be very valuable in COVID because they do reduce oxidative stress, giving COVID less places for that bloodline on there to have basically plaque built up that's loose that it can break off and cause clot formation. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Lewis Coates is our guest. You're listening to Better Health. So big news here, I guess, yesterday with the Pfizer vaccine getting FDA approved. So I guess, you know, some people, should they think now, that's the one I should get? Is it better than Moderna? I mean, what are your thoughts on this, getting this FDA approval?
Well, I think it's about time. I mean, I've said on this show before, I think the vaccines are both safe. You know, all three of them seem to be very safe. We have more data on these vaccines than I can ever remember any drug or vaccine or anything, you know, having prior to approval. You know, never before have we seen study groups with millions of people, and we're talking now billions if you go worldwide, and hundreds of millions, you know, here in the U.S. You got, you know, I think 180 million people now are getting close to being have had at least one shot. So, you know, knowing that we've had this much data, you know, I think that they kind of drugged their feet, to be honest, to get all this stuff done. Now people are saying, oh, they rushed the paperwork through. No, I mean, they have plenty of information and plenty of safety data, so I think it's about time. I think the Moderna probably won't be long behind it. You know, it's all about, you know, the companies, too, have to present the FDA the data, too.
Sure.
So they have to show their data. And, you know, Pfizer's a pretty good-sized company, so I'm sure they got their stuff together pretty rapidly to present to the FDA. And, you know, they went through it and approved it. And so I think that you'll see the Moderna, you know, probably. It might be the last one because it's a smaller company. But J&J is a pretty good-sized company because they've probably got people pushing papers as hard as they can to get all that paperwork, mm-hmm. you know, filled out, ready to go. And I think it's both. I think all three of them will get FDA approval eventually, and it shouldn't. You know, it's just a matter of, like I said before on this show, of time and paperwork. I don't think there's anything that's going to hold any of them up that we have seen. You know, the only thing we've really seen that was of consequence is. We have seen the potential for clotting with J&J. That seems to not be a issue like we initially thought. The things that we know are potential problems is people have a disease called Guillain-Barré. Sometimes they get from vaccines. These are no exception, and that's where your antibodies basically go crazy and start attacking nerves, and it causes a paralysis which, you know, usually resolves, but it can last, you know, a month or two. So Guillain-Barré is a very serious complication, and I tell patients, if you had Guillain-Barré in the past, then I wouldn't recommend getting the vaccine. You know, Bell's palsy, another complication that sometimes we see with vaccines, and that's a facial palsy where half your face becomes kind of paralyzed.
So
people, you know, have trouble drinking fluids because it falls out. It's like when you go to the dentist, they numb your face. It feels like that.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it could be like that for months sometimes. And That's a known complication with the vaccines. We have seen the myocarditis in the kids. We've had over 1,000 reports of that. So, you know, and that can occur with coronavirus too. So people have to put that in perspective also, that, hey, you know what, if I get any kind of viral illness, you know, I can certainly get myocarditis. And we have seen myocarditis with coronavirus. It's no exception to the rule. So it makes sense that the vaccine could potentially cause that. But overall, their safety profile is very, very, very good. We haven't seen, you know, to be honest, I thought there'd be way more issues than we've, you know, been seeing. So luckily, at this point, there should be plenty of safety data. And with, like I said, J&J and Moderna shouldn't be too far behind getting the approval. And hopefully, for some people, you know, a lot of people think, oh, now that they approve, that they're going to run out and get it. I don't think that's the case, but I do hope that there's a small percentage of people that may have been waiting for FDA approval, and now they can go out there and get the vaccine and hopefully protect themselves, you know, because, you know, I'm a believer that in ivermectin. I've been prescribing it since the pandemic began, and I've used it quite a bit, and I do sometimes prescribe it for prophylaxis, but I don't think it's a replacement for the vaccine by any means whatsoever. You know, and people, I think, are trying to think of it like that. There is no substitute for the vaccine. You know, it definitely prevents hospitalizations. It definitely prevents death. And most people that that I've seen that are fully vaccinated that turn positive, they have minimal to no symptoms. And so, you know, it's something that we all need to start thinking about and start putting, like I said before, put your political view, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or Libertarian, put your political views in another area. You know, focus on something other than your health. You know, and, you know, it's not a good place to stand. I don't think politics should be part of the healthcare system.
Sure, I know.
I don't believe in the mandates and stuff, so I don't think that it's right to mandate people to get vaccinated or use masks or whatever kind of mandate you want to talk about. But I do think people need to make decisions that are educated. I understand if you don't believe in a mandate. I don't believe in them either. But this is not where you want to stand with your political stance, because, unfortunately, those are the people that tend to be dying.
Right. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned ivermectin. There was a story here on a local news station here in Denver yesterday where they were talking about a lot of the veterinarian places that sell ivermectin in a tube, you know, for their horses and things like that. People are coming in and buying that and taking it because no doctors around hardly will give that. Or, I mean, a lot of them won't. And so what would you say to people that may be taking that in a form that is probably not meant for human consumption?
I would not recommend that. I would, you know, if you really have if you really want to get some ivermectin, you can go to the Frontline Alliance page, and there's plenty of doctors listed on there that you can find one in your general vicinity that will prescribe it and do a televisit with them or whatever you want to do.
Okay.
But there's definitely doctors out there that will prescribe it. And I would rather people use it under a doctor's care than taking it carelessly from, you know, a veterinarian or from a vet store, you know, a horse feed. Like, but that's not really what anybody should be doing. I think that you need to be careful because, you know, ivermectin has been around a long time and the side effect profile is very small, luckily. But, you know, when you start talking about, you know, animal medication.
No, I agree. That's why I wanted to bring it up.
There's a difference.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about the booster side of this. How long should people wait after their second shot to get this booster if they're eligible for it now?
Well, I don't think we have clear-cut data on that, but it does look like people's antibody titers are waning after about 6 to 9 months, somewhere in that time frame. So if you're a high-risk patient, okay, you know, if you let's, for instance, the ones we really know are the immunosuppressed. Let's start with them. If you're immunosuppressed, they didn't build a good response the first time around. A lot of people believe that was because maybe their immunosuppressive drugs didn't allow their immune system to mount a good response to the vaccine. But anyway, we see that most of those people after 6 months have little to no antibody titers left. So knowing that antibody titers are waning pretty rapidly, those people definitely after 6 months, I think most of us will find out that our immunity is going to last somewhere between 6 and 9 months. I think people that had COVID previously and then got the vaccine are going to have probably a longer response mm-hmm. because they already had memory and plasma cells, T-cell response. And that's one thing to remember. When we start talking about antibody tests, when you come into the office, and I tell patients this, but they come in and they get an antibody titer, and there's no antibodies, and they're all upset. Oh, my God, what am I supposed to do? And I said, well, first off, there's going to be a booster shot for almost, all the vaccines, I'm pretty sure. And just because your antibody titers is now low doesn't mean that you don't have any immunity at all. You still, that means that what we're measuring is circulating antibodies. And in your blood, there's no circulating antibodies to the coronavirus. But that doesn't mean that your plasma cells, which we call memory cells, forgot how to make those antibodies. As soon as they see it, they're going to start producing them again. And you still have a killer T-cell response. It's going to say, hey, we remember that dude. We're going to go take him out. Mm-hmm. And we know he's bad news, so we don't want him around, okay? And so you still have some immunity. It may not be as strong. Certainly circulating antibodies are going to attack it quicker than the plasma cells having to go make them. But that's what memory cells are for. They're like, hey, you know what? We're floating around here. In case you need more, we're going to mass produce them. And it remembers how to do that. So, if you haven't been exposed to corona since the vaccine, then yeah, your circulating antibodies are probably going to start weaning off. But, if you've been re-exposed, for instance, someone like me in the healthcare industry, maybe I'll draw mine and see what mine are, but most likely I'm still going to have some circulating antibodies, even though it's been, 8 months since I've been vaccinated, because of the fact that I'm around patients all the time that have coronavirus. So I've probably been exposed to more virus. Sure. It gets in my blood, and it uses the ones in the blood, and my plasma cells produce some more to be circulating around. So, and that's what booster shots do, is they basically boost up the amount of antibodies in your blood, and they get those plasma cells producing more and more antibodies. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why you see such a stronger response with Moderna and the Pfizer than you do with J&J. The most people I say I've seen that have been fully vaccinated that are getting sick, a high percentage seem to be, that I ask them, is the J&J. Right. And that's just a personal survey that I do when people call and they got coronavirus. Have you been vaccinated? And they'll say yes or no. If they say yes, I'll say, which one did you get? Just for my own personal knowledge.
Sure. This whole idea of the booster thing, too, that isn't something new for vaccines. There's several vaccines that require a booster, right?
Yeah, that's not a new concept at all. And that goes back to what I was saying before. Vaccine regimens and booster shots, they change all the time, okay? The pneumonia shot, we changed the regimen of that 5 times in the 25 years I've been in medicine, okay? Mm-hmm. It was for life, and it was 7 years, and it was 5 years. It's one of those things that's constantly changing, because we find out that, hey, you know what? We look at the medical data and the studies and find out that people's antibody levels drop, or they're getting sick after a certain amount of time for a disease that we didn't think that, and when we say sick, we mean like we send them in the hospital.
Sure.
So that's kind of how we run things as far as medicine. It's, there's a lot of vaccines that we've discovered, hey, you know what, this one needs a booster. We thought one shot was enough. Now we say, oh, you have to get another one. Tetanus shot, we get a, booster every 10 years. And if you get cut after 6 years, we give you the booster sooner, because we know that after 6 years, you may not have enough immunity to it to prevent tetanus. Now we add whooping cough to the tetanus vaccine. We used to think that if you got vaccinated for whooping cough when you were a child, that was enough. And whooping cough made a huge return over the last, 10 to 15 years. And we started seeing it affect adults who were, unfortunately, getting their infants sick with whooping cough. So whooping cough is caused by a bacteria called pertussis. And we just simply added pertussis to the tetanus vaccine. So whenever someone does their 10-year tetanus booster, now they almost certainly get the Adacel, which is the one that has pertussis mixed in with the tetanus.
Gotcha. So do you think, the way this is going on now, do you think this is going to be in kind of an annual type vaccine, at least here for a while? You know, kind of like
I
the flu
still
shot.
Think we need more time to find out. You know, let's see what happens after, you know, after the people that get a third shot. Let's see what their immunity looks like 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. You know, what you know, and are they getting sick at all? Are they not? And if they are they still having mild symptoms? You know, I think we have to look at some of the data before we can really determine, is this going to be an annual thing? And how many cases of corona are we seeing? And, you know, as more and more people get vaccinated, the caseload of the severe disease will start dropping. And, you know, if there's less severe disease, there's going to be less people getting checked and tested. So we won't really know the true numbers. You know, it'll be like when this thing began, and I kept saying that the numbers that we're seeing are way underestimated as to what people are actually catching. And because a lot of people, even back at the beginning, had mild or little to no symptoms, and they're just carrying the virus around for a few days, and then it moves on to the next person where it can mass produce and multiply.
Sure.
So, you know, if your immune system kills it off, and if there's not a lot of people getting severe disease, all these people with mild symptoms aren't going to be running in getting tested, and we won't be testing for, you know, getting surgeries all the time. So, you know, as the severity of the disease goes down, the testing frequency goes down, and therefore we don't even really know how many cases are out there, but it's not relevant if it's not causing any harm.
Right. Last couple of minutes here, but as far as testing, right now, I think if someone goes in, gets tested, and they test positive, there's no testing right now to differentiate whether it's COVID or this Delta variant. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, essentially, we just know that you're positive for the coronavirus. It doesn't tell you which variant. Patients ask that almost every day, and then they get mad because they didn't find out which variant they had when they went and got tested.
Right.
And I tell them it's not relevant which variant you have. The CDC and health departments, what they do is they take a certain number of samples that come through and they run genetic coding on them to find out what the structure looks like and if it's the same or is it mutating. They do that for scientific purposes, but clinically speaking, it makes no difference. There's no treatment change. So and it's very expensive to genetic sequence each test and come up with a new test for each specific genetic sequence. You got to remember, you're talking about a whole lot of, you know, it's like looking at the computer code with ones and zeros. You know, you're talking about C's and A's and T's and G's, and it's basically the same as a one and a zero. And look, you put all these C's, G's, and A's and T's together, and that's how you come up with what the virus is or what our DNA is.
Right.
And so it's, you know, millions of these little letters that you put in a sequence, and that changes how they work. So it's no different than if you were to take the code for, you know, a picture and another picture, and if you put them side by side, you know, a lot of the numbers are going to look the same, but when you put them all together, they're different. And so it's expensive to go get the code versus just looking at, you know, what is it a corona or not? Okay.
Yes, sir.
And if it, until we find a corona that we have to treat differently, if something comes out where one of them is now, instead of attacking the lungs and the endothelial lining, you know, it causes massive liver damage, and we have to start treating that, then they would try to find a specific test to find that variant, because that variant would be treated a little bit different.
All right. Well, Dr. Coates, always great information. We appreciate your time, and we look forward to our conversation next week, sir.
All right. Thank you very much.
That was Dr. Lewis Coates. And once again, if you're just joining us, Dr. Coates' practice is in Garland, Texas. We do a show each week there in the Dallas area called Better Health, and he just shares some great information. So I wanted to share it with you, our Haystack audience.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.